front. The floor was waxed and polished. JB turned and poked at the children, hesitated, and peered more closely. He gestured with the muzzle of the Uzi.
Ryan, see what I see?
The kids? Oh, fire blast.
At first glance, all of the 18 children looked roughly the same size and age, roughly 10 years old. But that wasn't the reality. Now that he could see beneath the caps, Ryan realized the truth. Only 4 or 5 of the class were actually human. The rest of them were...
dogs.
All of the other corpses that they'd seen had been skillfully preserved, arranged with great cunning into acceptable facsimiles of normal behavior. But the embalmer had been less successful with the dog children. You could see where vulpine jaws had been pushed back and muzzles extended, bristling hair shaved off, and the sharp teeth filed and drilled. The peaked ears were hidden under the caps, but some of the silent rows of creatures showed mutilated paws resting on pencils and primers. And the clothes had been clumsily pinned and sewn together to try to fit around the misshapen bodies of the variety of canine breeds.
Let's get the fuck out of here. Place is a nightmare.
I'll go with that.
Before leaving, Ryan glanced up at the blackboard. There was a line and a half of roughly scrawled writing chalked on it that simply ended as though the person had lost interest.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a... what's it mean?
Looks like some sort of poem.
Rings a kind of bell with me, but the spelling's all up the creek.
They both felt the slightest breath of air as the door opened behind them. They started to turn, aware that they were going to be too slow and too late.
I fear that spelling was always my weak point.
Sure looks good.
Ryan had just returned from washing his hands at the pump out back. JB was just behind him, wiping his fingers on the leg of his pants.
Surely does.
Malachi Gribble smiled at them from his seat at the head of the table.
If only it was real, gentlemen, but I fear the bread and the venison alone are fit to be eaten. The rest are the products of my humble skill.
You're greasing our wheels. You mean all that other stuff is fake?
Gribble smiled thinly, the eyes staring at them, magnified by the enormously thick lenses of his spectacles.
Sorry, like I said in the schoolroom, I have talents in that line, though spelling has sadly never been among them. As a child, I was whipped by my father for that failing. I can read well enough, always could, but when I try to scratch the black marks on the page, they become muddled and jumbled.
Yeah, we noticed that.
That was why I abandoned my attempt to copy Mr. Poe's wonderful verses about the raven onto the board. I knew things had run away from me.
Ryan sat down and looked at the groaning table, hardly able to believe that so little of it was real, until he spotted the imperfections that meant reality. The bread was burned on one side and looked underbaked in its heart. The bowl of venison was thick with grease, a clotted scum floating on its top. Everything else was flawless. The salmon, freshly caught, with its scales shining like 1,000 rainbows, was dry and dull to the touch. The quail, every feather vibrant with life, was long dead. The pile of fruit, peaches, a mango, oranges, bananas, and a pineapple, was made from clay, glazed and fired.
Did all that myself. Like I say, God gave me a real talent for that. Got my own kiln out back by the generator. Drives the electrics. God also gave me a talent for embalming. And in return, he made words and letters go into a corkscrew dive when I come anyplace near to them.
JB ladled some of the venison stew onto a cracked dish, hacking off a slice of the bread. He sniffed suspiciously at the food, looking up at their host.
Cooking isn't a skill I possess either. Sorry.
During the next half hour, Ryan and the armorer learned most of what there was to know about Malachi Gribble. He'd been born on the edges of old Denver 53 years ago, when there were plenty of serious hotspots around Colorado. His parents died of rad sickness when he was 11, and he headed for the hills, lived in a ville near Telluride, and learned all about taxidermy from an old-timer.
The old-timer had a store, did some hair cutting, claimed to do manicures, though I never saw him do that. And embalming. Called his place Buff'em, Fluff'em, and Stuff'em. Honest. Left him. Married. Had a couple of kids. All died. Cholera. Found this place about 4 years ago. I'm going to call it Gribbleville once it's done.
The little blue eyes behind the dense magnifying lenses really came alive when Malachi talked about his dreams and ambitions. He wore a three-piece suit that looked like it came from the same era as the clothes of the children in the schoolhouse. As he talked, he slurped stew all over the vest and dropped crumbs in his lap. But he seemed oblivious to this.
I want to have this place looking so real you can kind of squint and believe it. Did all the voices myself. Never have guessed that, would you?
Both JB and Ryan shook their heads, battling with the rotten food.
I've been moving on to animals.
Like dogs?
Gribble blushed at Ryan's words. For a moment, there seemed a fiery glimmer of real anger behind the glasses. But if it had ever been there, it was swiftly gone.
They're a mistake, aren't they? Come on now, admit it. Mistake, Error City, Failure Avenue, lapse of taste. On a scale of 1 to 100, the dogs rate a flat zero. I know that. But it's hard to get a hold of children.
His stomach was already revolting at the greasy mess.
Where do you find your,
specimens?
That'll do for a name, yeah.
Gribble was helping himself to the last of the venison, shreds of gristle and sinew plopping into his dish.
Oh, here and there.
They did when you get them?
A vacuous smile of dubious morality pasted itself onto the pallid cheeks.
Of course, Mr. Dix.
Where?
Here and there. Plenty of small vills around. Sometimes I go as far as Denver. Plenty of cold ones there.
What did you chill the deer with? What kind of blasters you got up here?
Oh, just a long barrel musket. Nothing else. With my sight, I'm not a good shot. I was hunting when you arrived. Or else I would have seen you or heard you coming. I always come and welcome strangers. It gets lonely. Not many visitors this far off the trails. But I can always go and talk to my friends in the houses and the church and the school and all.
Malachi Gribble smiled again. He stood and pushed back his chair. Ryan and JB also stood.
You said you'd got a bed for us for the night, Malachi?
Indeed I do. Best in the house. Sure you don't want to bring up your wag for safety?
Safe where it is, thanks.
Gribble's own house was little more than a shotgun shack, but he had proudly showed them his workshop out back, near the gas generator. It was wonderfully equipped with all manner of tools, and was spotlessly clean, and was more than twice as big as the actual house.
Keep your gas in that green tank?
Yeah. Trade some of my stuffed animals around for it. Folks like them, especially barons. Sometimes they bring me bears and wolves and muties they've chilled and get me to render them more lifelike than the living. That's my motto.
Muties?
Oh, muty animals only. I keep the, well, special ones to come and be my friends here. There's always space for more friends in life, isn't there? In the mansion of Malachi Gribble, there are many rooms.
The room he showed to Ryan and JB had two narrow beds in it, each piled high with ragged and filthy blankets. After the little man had left them, they looked at each other.
Crazier than a shithouse rat.
You think? Still, it beats sleeping in the armawag. Can always wash off the fleas in the morning. And help ourselves to some of his gas.
The door was sturdy with a good strong bolt on it, and JB threw it across.
There. Still, if he's only got a black powder musket, I guess there's not much to fear.
Ryan thought for a moment about the bullet wound in the back of the woman's neck. It had looked like a high-velocity round had done the damage. JB laid the 12-gauge Smith & Wesson against the side of his bed, placing the Uzi on the floor within easy reach of his hand. He didn't bother to pull off his combat boots.
Anywhere to piss in the night?
There's always the window.
Ryan looked around the room and saw a low cupboard in one corner. He opened the door and spotted the gleam of white porcelain.
There's a thunderpot in here.
To try to wash down the noxious meal, Ryan had drunk a lot of water from the chipped glass jug, and he suspected that he might not make it through the night. But he laid down his weapons and eased himself under the blankets on the bed nearest the undraped window, wincing at the stench.
Oh, God. He'd been wrapping dead bear guts in these?
kind of ripe.